Today's daf is Bechoris daf Mem Dalet, and we will begin 6 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza. So yesterday we began the 7th perek in Masechtas Bechoris, which also deals with Momen. However, whereas the 6th perek dealt with the halachos of Momen that affect an animal, specifically a Bechor, the 7th perek deals with Momen that affect a Koyim. Meaning, just like you're not allowed to be Makriv, a Behema, that's Kachim, that has a Mom, as we saw, there's many mitzvahs essay and mitzvahs loisa essay that are intertwined with that general idea. So too, there's a halacha that a koyin that's a baal mum is not allowed to do the avoid. Additionally, the Gemara said on Daf Mem Gimel and earlier on Daf Mem as well that the definition of mum as it relates to koyin is a little bit more liberal than the definition of mum as it relates to a behemah. By a koyin, the pasuk says ish ish mizera aharon, and we learn from there ish. That you don't need an extraordinary mum in order to disqualify a kohen from being able to do the avodah. The fact that he's not shava bezare shalaharin, he's somewhat unusual. Even if the blemish that he has is not necessarily considered such a chisarin, the fact that he's not shava bezare shalaharin, that in and of itself would be enough to disqualify him from being able to do the avodah. Stating that, as the Gemara said in yesterday's daf, there are nafgaminas on the bidyevid level between a koyin that had a real mum, a mum that would disqualify even a carbon and does the avoda, versus a koyin that had one of the lesser mumen, one of the mumen that are simply an issue because he's not shava bezera shalaharin. Regardless, today's daf, the Gemara is going to discuss many, many, many different types of mumen that disqualify a koyin from being able to do the avoda. Zok de Mishnah, hacharum. It says in the Torah, when the Torah mentions the mumen of a koyin, ki chol ish asher boy mum lo yikrav, ish iver oy piseach, oy charum, oy sarua. Says the Mishnah, what exactly is a charum? That's somebody that's able to put something on both his eyes at the same time without any obstruction. Meaning, if you tried just putting your finger across your two eyes, you'd be obstructed by the bone of your nose. This person's nose is shakua, it's sunken in. As a result, he's able to take his finger, put it across his eyes at the same time. That's a mum. Which mum is it? It's one of the mumen that are mentioned in the Torah. It's the charum. Einov, shtei einov lamato. Both his eyes are lamailo. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Shtei einov lamato. Both his eyes are lamato. Einai achas lamalo, einai achas lamato. One of them is lamailo. The other one is lamato. Roya sacheder veso aliyokech. Someone who's able to see the ceiling and the floor at the same time. Because one of his eyes are looking up, the other one of his eyes are looking down. Sachi Shemesh. The Gemara will explain what that means. Vahazagdon vahatziron. The Gemara will explain that. Vishanashu risei enav. Someone who doesn't have his eyelashes. Puzzle. All these people, or referring back to Vishanashu enav, is puzzle. Mipnei maris ha'ayin. Which Rashi explained in the previous sugya, that maris ha'ayin over here doesn't mean that it looks like he's doing something wrong. But rather, what maris ha'ayin means in this sugya is that being that the person looks a little bit unusual, so it's for that reason the Chachamim said that he's not allowed to do the avoida. Meaning, when something is asur mipnei maris ha'ayin, in the mumin sense, it's something that's also only asur midrabban. It's like the Gemara Tanu Rabban, and a braisa that elaborates on some of the mumin mentioned in the Mishnah. Charum. What is a charum? Shechait meshaku. The Mishnah already explained that. That's someone whose nose is sunken in. Meaning that bridge between his two eyes is sunken in. If someone's nose, not the bridge, the bone that's in between his eyes, but the nose itself is very small. Or his nostrils are closed. Or his nose is very long. It droops down to his lips, Rashi says. I mean, how do you know these are considered movement as well? Tamalim, the pasuk says, oy charum. So charum itself is someone that's chayt moy shakua. That we explained already. The word oy is l'rabbis. What is oy charum coming to teach me? Different movement related to the nose. His nose is very small. His nose is very long. His nostrils are shut. Rabbi Yossi, oymer. Rabbi Yossi says, ein charum el akoichel shtei ein of ka'achas. Rabbi Yossi says, no, I disagree. That the definition of charum, no, oicharim, it always means someone who's chaytamei shakua. But if it's not chaytamei shakua, he's not going to have a mum. They told him, iflakta. No, it's not true. Even if it's not so extreme, this mum that he has in his nose, it's still considered a psul. Says the Gemara. It said, Shtei Ein of Lamaila, Veshtei Ein of Lamata. So the first mum that was mentioned in the Mishnah, which is Charum, that deals with a mum in the nose. And then the Mishnah digressed. For a mum that deals with the eyes. It said that if both his eyes are lamaila, both his eyes are lamata, we don't know what that means yet. One of his eyes are lamaila, the other one is lamata, or he's roya esacheder vesalia kafir. He sees the roof and the ceiling at the same time. Zokti gemar, my shtein of lamaila. What does that mean? Shtein of lamata. Ilim shtein of lamaila, the chazi lamaila. Shtein of lamaila mean he sees up. Meaning his eyes just naturally don't gaze forward, but they gaze upward. And shtein of lamata means the chazi lamata. If that's the case, then ein ayachas lamaila ve ein ayachas lamata would mean the chazoi ein ayachas lamata ve ein ayachas lamata. Right? If shtein of lamaila means he looks up, and shtein of lamata means he looks down, what does ein ayachas lamaila ve ein ayachas lamata mean? The word lamaila and lamata have to be consistent. So it means one eye looks up, one eye looks down. The kasha then is, hainu roya sachedev esali ka'achas. So then the third case and the fourth case are exactly the same thing. Because roya sachedev esali lamata means, just another way of saying it, a more dramatic way of making the point, that it's one is looking up and the other one is looking down. Ella says, the you have to say, shtein of lamaila means the kami lamaila. It means that physically, the eyes are located in his head, lamaila, from where people's eyes usually are. Shtei ein of lamata means the kami lamata. They're lower than the place where people's eyes usually are. Ein ayachas lamaila ve ein ayachas lamata means the kami ein ayachas lamaila ve ein ayachas lamata. So one of his eyes are physically higher than the other one. And then the Gemara says, what would be if his eyes are both kisidron, meaning they're physically in the place they're supposed to be, but that too would be an issue. So what are the four women mentioned in the Mishnah? The first three are talking about physically where his eyes are. If both his eyes are lamaila from where they should be, both his eyes are lamata from where they should be, or inayachas lamaila v'inayachas lamata. Those are the first three women. The fourth woman is where his eyes are where they're supposed to be, but he just doesn't see properly. He sees with one eye lamaila, and with the other eye, he sees lamata. Says the Gemara, not immediately. How do you know all this? The Tanu Rabbanon. It says in the Pasuk, Oi gibein, oi dak, oi tevalul be'enoi. Then the Pasuk says, Oi gorav ayalefes, oi merayach oshach. So gorav and yalefes we've discussed already. Gibein, dak, and tevalul be'enoi, that we haven't. Says the Gemara, those things are mumin that relate to an eye, tevalul be'enoi. But from the word be'enoi we learn, which apparently was extra, says the Gemara, kol masha be'enoi, that any mum that a person has in his eye is considered a mum. Mikan over from here we learn, shtein of lamata, shtein of lamayla, in achas lamayla, in achas lamata, b'roi sechad v'salik ha'achas, oi, shemedaber im chaveira. Or, another example, this that we didn't have in the Mishnah, if someone's talking to his friend, v'oimer acher li roya, and somebody else is standing next to him, and he thinks he's talking to him, meaning, he's looking at Reuven, but really he's talking to Shimon. This is all Me'inyan, Le'inyan, Ba'isa, Inyan. That too would be considered a Tanu Rabbanan. It says in the Pasuk, Iver. Kichol ish asher boimum, lo yikrav ish Iver, oifiseach, oicharam, oisaru. So what's an Iver? Bein suma b'shtei eino, bein suma b'achas me'eino. It doesn't matter if he's a suma in both his eyes, or he's a suma in one of his eyes, he would be considered a iver. Chavarver v'hamay maglumi'nayim. How do you know if a person is suffering from chavarver? That's this condition where he has these white things inside his eye. We discussed this in the previous parak with regards to the behema. There's the chavarver where it's a mum kavua. There's the chavarver where it's a mum she'eni kavua. Or v'hamayim makfuin. Or if he has mayim, that's kavua. I mean, how do you know those are considered a mumin as well? Tamabayimah ish iver. Meaning iver itself means that he's a summa in the more general sense. Summa b'shtei einav, even a summa b'achas me'einav. Chavarver v'amayim akvunim teach us, even, or ishiver teaches us that even those women are going to be a problem. Incidentally, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that someone that suffers from chavarver or mayim akvun is also blind. He also can't see. Stating that, we needed a pasuk to be marber, that someone who's blind because of chavarver v'amayim akvun is possible to do the avoida, just like a more prototypical summa is possible to do the avoida. So the Gemara explains. Omar Rav, lovely the cause of Rachmana, ish, iver, dak, and tevalul be'ena. These are all mumen that relate to the eye. So Rav said, tzrich, the cause of Rachmana, iver, had it said, iver, mishud, the last nukla. So interesting, the definition of iver is someone that not can't see, but he physically doesn't have his eye. So because he doesn't have his eye, obviously he can't see. So you would think, had it only said either, that someone who physically is missing his eye, he can't do the avodah. Who have their eye, they just can't see. Loi, because of Rachman and Ish. That's the brisa that the Gemara brought earlier. Ish iver is l'rabbis, anyone that's blind. Whether it's because he physically doesn't have an eye, or it's because he's suffering from the condition of chavarver and mayim kavur. Okay, because Rachman Ish had only said Ish, I would have thought Mishlom Nikachazi klaps. End of the day, he can't see. Avum nachsu raiso loi. But let's say someone who can see, he just doesn't see very well. He has very poor vision. How do you know that he's also possible from doing the avodah? Because of Rachmana Dak. That's what the word Dak means. Dak is someone who can't see so well. Because of Rachmana Dak had only said Dak, Mishon Mechasu, then they can't see so well. Abam Mevaliso Boy. What about someone who can see fine? However, the different parts of his eyes are somewhat tamished, mevulful. So how do you know that somebody like that is also possible from doing the avodah? I mean, he has his eye. He can even see. And he sees perfectly. So what's the issue? It's not nismayid from either. It's not nismayid from ish either. And it's not even nismayid from dak. He could see fine. There's just something wrong. Because of rachmana tevalu. That's what tevalu means. When it says tevalu in the Torah, it's referring miloshen bilbul, that the different parts of his eye are somewhat intertwined. Because of rachmana tevalu. Had it said tevalu, I would have thought mishum nevalu. I'll be mishum ashriusulay. Let's say he has some other thing that's unusual about his eyes. How do you know that's going to be an issue? Because of Rachmana Be'enai, that any shinui in his eyes would be considered a mum. Omar Rava, Rava said, Hilkach. Let's make a summary on what we just said. Kol machmas kayuso asim ish. Someone who's blind is nismayed from the fact that it says ish iver. Ish iver, the word ish is l'rabbi, is that any person who cannot see at all is considered a balmum as it relates to being able to do the avodah. Machsurai, so if he could see, just can't see very well, that's nismayit midak. Mevalbalisa, someone who can see fine, it's just the parts of his eyes are mevulvul, that's nismayit from the word tevalul. And mashin yusa, someone that has some other abnormality, he's also nismayit mibe'enoi from the word enoi. Sochi shemesh, the Mishnah mentioned that a sochi shemesh is also considered a balmum. That's another mum related to the eyes. Tell you, Rav Yosef, what is that? Soni shemesh. Rav Yosef, who incidentally was a sagi nar, he himself was blind. But said Rav Yosef, it means soni shemesh, someone who can't look at the eye. So it's just, he can't look at the sun, because the shine of the sun is too bright for him. If he can't look in the sun, that's considered a chisaron. And somebody like him is considered a baal mum. Zagadion. What is Zagadion? Machvi Rafuna. Rafuna said, Chad medidon, v'chad medidus. Rafuna is giving shir, and he's explaining to the chevra what exactly this mum is. So he said, this is someone that has one eye like me. Rafuna is talking about himself. And then he pointed to the person right next to him, and he said, and one eye like you. The Gemara says, who was sitting next to him? Rav Yehuda. The great Rav Yehuda, the Ikri Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was very upset because apparently Rav Yehuda had this shinui, Ayin Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershon, and he just felt that he was singled out as the person who had an eye that was somewhat mishuna, that would be considered a mum, that had he been a kohen, he wouldn't be able to do the avodah. The Feit the Gemara Kasha Bad Meisvei Shechavna. What is that? Shekvin of Shoichvin. That's someone who has very long eyebrows. Zagdum. What is that? It means someone that has echad shachar echad lav. He has one black eyebrow and he has one white eyebrow. What's the kasha? Here we said zagadion, which Rafun explained as having two eyes that are different. He said, Chad medidon, an ordinary eye, and one eye like Rav Yehuda has. And here we have a braisa that says zagdum. I guess the assumption is that zagdoyon and zagdum are the same thing. And here it says it's not two eyes that are different, but it's two eyebrows that are different. Zakhti Gemara Tana, very simple answer. Kol zuga, the leishavi ladadi, zagdum karili. Zagdum, maybe from the shayrish zug. That any time you have two things appear, two eyebrows, two eyes, to anything, where they're not the same, that's considered zagdum, and that's considered a mum. Hatziron. What is tziron? Says the Gemara, ein of tshutai, someone whose eyes are round. Vitzironiyos, similar to tziron, that's doimois, dolfois, and tardois. These are someone whose eyes, they drip, and the liquid flows out of his eyes. Tano, haziver, vahalofyoin, vahatimor. These things are also considered mumin. Ziver, what is a ziver? The mezaver enai. That's someone whose eyes, they're always, they're looking all over the place. Lofyon, is dinafishin zife, someone whose eyelashes are much longer than the regular person's. Timirish etamu zifin, someone who doesn't have any eyelashes. Whoa, last thing. Someone who doesn't have eyelashes, that's considered a mum. Vagabi mum and tani lohu, vatanamu don't in a mishnah. Our mishnah mentioned that mum. And what did the mishnah say? Someone who's nashu riseyena, someone who doesn't have his eyelashes, what's the halacha? He's pasul. But we explained in the Mishnah that when you find the words Marisayin in the context of woman, it means it's only possible to Rabbanan. It's not a real book. Although Marisayin here doesn't mean what it usually means, like Rashi explains, but Hatzad Hashavah Shevehen is it's a Psul de Rabbanan. The point is that we have a stira. The Mishnah says, Shanashu Risei Einav is possible in the Marisayin. It sounds like it's only possible to Rabbanan. And here we have a Braisa, where the Braisa mentions Timir as a real mum. And what is Timir? Shetamu Zifin. Which we said means that he doesn't have his eye. So which one is it? It depends. If it's completely out, then it's something that's going to be usher as a real mum. If it's a shtayer gardumi, the root of the eyelashes are still in place, so then it's not going to be a real mum, but at the same time, it's going to be an issue simply mipnei marisai. If somebody's eyes are so big, like that of an eagle, a calf, or they're so small like that of a goose. Gufa galame evarav. His body is much larger than his evarim proportionately. A katan me evarim. Or his body is small proportionate to his evarim. Chait me galame evarav. Or his nose is very large proportionate to the rest of his body. A katan me evarav. Or smaller than the rest of his body. Hatzimeim vahatzimeim. Is it tzimeim? What's it tzimeim? Kol she'ozam ktanis. He has small ears. Vahatzimeim kol she'ozam doimis l'sfog. If his ears look like a sponge, they're closed. If his upper lip protrudes above his lower one, we've seen this already, or his lower one protrudes above the upper one, those are both considered mumim. If he doesn't have any teeth, puzzle, he's also a puzzle. Why? Not because it's a real mum, but simply mipnei marisayin. Moshe Rabbeinu eser amis hoya. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amis tall. The pasuk says, vayifrois eser oil ala mishkan. Because Moshe Rabbeinu took the oil is referring to one of the pareiches, there were a few pareiches that covered the Mishkan, so this pareiches he took and he spread it on top of the Mishkan. Zok Gemara, mi parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu parsha. And the pasuk says, Eser Amis, we know that how tall would the krashim, each one was 10 Amis. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, how is he able to take the pareiches and put it on top of the krashim? L'chura, the krashim are 10 Amis tall. Now, I think if you ask the man on the street, what would he say? And a ladder. But apparently the Gemara assumes that there was for sure no ladder. So if that's the case, straight to Gemara, how did he do it? Oh, must be he was tall enough to do it. Yeah, how tall must he have been? He must have been 10 amas tall. Now, when the Gemara says that, when the Pasuk says that the crushing were 10 amas, what does it mean? It means 10 of a regular amma. What's an amma? An amma is a person's arm, right? So it's 10 of the Adam Benini's arms. That's the amma that the Torah is referring to. It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu's amma was like that of an ordinary amma, yet he himself was 10 amas tall, which would mean that his own arm was very, very small proportionate to the rest of his body. Let's assume an amma is 2 feet. So Moshe Rabbeinu is 20 feet tall. So if he's 20 feet tall, his arm should not be your standard amma, but rather it should be proportionate to the rest of his body. But from the fact that we're referring to the 10 amas of the krashim, which are ordinary amas, and we're relating that to Moshe Rabbeinu, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu's own amma are 10 of those amas, yet Moshe Rabbeinu is 10 amas tall, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu's arm is very, very small, proportionate to the rest of his body. What's the kasha? Omali Rav Shimi Bar Chila Rav. Im Kein, if that's the case, Asisal Moshe Rabbeinu Ba Mum. You're making Moshe Rabbeinu a Mum. The Tanan, because we learned in our Mishnah, Kufay Gadol Me'evarav, Ay Katan Me'evarav. Right, the Mishnah says that if someone's body is too big proportionate to his Evarim, or vice versa, that Loch is about Mum. L'chayra comes out in Cheshbin that Moshe Rabbeinu was about Mum. Amalei. So the Gemara says, Rav told Rav Shimi Bar Chiya Shimi, the Amo Shel Keresh Ka'amar. That when we say that Moshe Rabbeinu's Amo, it means the Amos of Moshe, meaning his own Amo was taka much larger. When we say that, meaning this whole Cheshbin is not so Luchach, Moshe Rabbeinu's Amo was a regular Amo. Moshe Rabbeinu's, however, height was that of 10 ordinary amas, and the 10 amas that the Torah uses to describe the size of the kroshama, ordinary amas, but as it relates to Moshe Rabbeinu's own amma, it was really not so muchach from the kasha. And that's what Rav told Rav Shimi. He says, what's the hechrach? Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas, ordinary amas. You want to know what his own amma looked like? His own amma was, I'm sure, relative to the rest of the size of his body. Chayt my gadol, if his nose is too large, that too is considered a mutana. How much larger does it have to be proportionate to the rest of his body? The Gemara says ke'etz b'ketana, very, very small. That's already enough. Atzimim v'atzimeya. Tana, afatzimeya. So the Mishnah mentioned a tzimim and a tzimeya, and the Mishnah even explained what that is. So we add to that, hatzimeya. So the Gemara, you have the other Rabbana mind tzimeya. Rabbana didn't know what tzimeya was. Shama l'hutai davakamar. So they heard there was an Arab merchant who said the following, man de boy tzimeya. Anybody want to buy a tzimeya? So Chaman got all excited. Oh, tzimech, it must be an Arab word. So let's go see what it is. So v'shtakach, they went to take a look at what this merchant was selling, and he was selling a gadi chaziza. He was selling a goat with very long ears. So they understood now what a tzimech is. Very, very long ears. Amar chizda. Eish eino kanayim, a goat that has no horns. V'rochel sheyesh lo kanayim, or a female sheep that does have horns. So it's out of the ordinary. So halach is k'shem legabi mizbech. They're both kosher legabi mizbech. Meaning, you would have thought maybe it's a mum. If it's supposed to have horns and it doesn't have horns, or it's not supposed to have horns and it does have horns, sounds like it's a mum. That's Rav Chizda's chiddush, that eis that should have horns, she'ein la karnayim, or a rochel that should not have horns, she'yesh la karnayim, k'shem legabi mizbech. Tainam, halachit mufurish abrais, eish varm she'ein kemum v'enik mum. There's certain things that you would have thought are mumen, meaning she'ein kim mumen, but they ain't a movement, they're really not movement. And as a result, you're allowed to bring them as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't bring them outside of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning they're not movement. Meaning that they're not movement, you can't bring them outside. To the contrary, you bring them in the basement. Shveilu hein, eish ein lo karnayim, v'rochul sheyesh lai karnayim, v'hatzimeyach, v'hatzimein, v'hatzimeyach. Then the Mishnah adds those things. Amr Rav Chizda, Amr HaMeimar. Rav Chizda said the name of HaMeimar. Nitl karnoisav, v'zachrusan imohem. In the event that the horns were removed together with the zachrus. Zachrus means the bone that's part of, meaning the root of it, was removed as well. Then the halach is, it's going to be possible. However, ve'in poydan alein, but it's not enough of a mum that it falls into the category of psuli amigdashim. Nitl klafayim v'zachrus imam, if the hooves of the animal were removed together with the bone, together with the root, the core of it, the halach is over there, psulin v'niftam alein. There it's going to be possible. You can even be poydan. Meisra, last year, kash nitl kanayim v'tlafayim v'zachrus imam, psulin v'niftam imam. Rav Chizda said in the name of Ameimar, nitlu karnayim. V'zachrusani mohem pasul ve'im poydim aleim. It's only nitlu klafayim v'zachrusan that has psulim v'niftam aleim. But if it's karnoisav, it's im poydim aleim. Here's a mufurish b'raisa that says both the karnayim and the klafayim with the zachrusan, in both cases it's niftam aleim. So we have a stira. Is nitlu karnayim v'zachrusani mohem pasul v'niftin, like it says in the b'raisa, so ain't niftin like Rav Chizda says. So Gemara like Kashi, you have to say, there's different levels of what removing this zachrus means. Like Kasha, had this akur is akuri, had the igum igumi. Was it removed completely? It was only shaved a little bit. It wasn't completely removed. If it was removed completely, yeah, that's already psuli amakdasha. If you give him a bite, if it wasn't removed completely, it's pasul. But at the same time, it's not enough of a mum that you should be able to put faith to Gemara, the igum igumi pasul. If all you did was igum igumi, you just shaved it a little bit. Is it even possible? I mean, I'll ask you a kasha. Para shekarneh utlafeh shchayrim. Para, as in the para aduma, where the keren, the horns or the hooves are black. So we know it's not supposed to be black. So what's the halacha? You're allowed to cut it off a little bit. Now, how are you allowed to cut it off? A par adum is kachim. You can't be matumum. And certainly, if you're matumum, you're going to make a pasul. So what do you see from here? That if all you did was yigoy, you just shaved it a little bit, you were quote-unquote igumigumi, you see, it's not even a pasul. So how could you tell me the Rav Chizda's halacha that said pasul? But at the same time, in Poydan Aleim, it was igumigumi. I have a mufurish a mishnah, mesachtes para, where it's mavur, that if you just shave off a little bit of the hooves, a little bit of the horns, it's not a problem at all. The Mars of Tigram is irimi ilui zachas. You have to say, again, there's different levels. The mishnah over there is talking about where you shave the horn, you shave the hoof. You didn't touch the zachrus of the horn, the zachrus of the hooves. If you touch the zachrus of the hooves, then it already depends. If you just shaved it a little bit, it's possible. Yeah, that's for sure. But at the same time, you cannot be poyed. If you remove the zachrus completely, that's what the Bryce was talking about. There, the halach is it's going to be possible, and you could be poyed. So before we go weiter, just to pause for a few moments, and that is, the Gemara discussed one of the women as being someone whose gufay gadol me'evarav, ay katan me'evarav. So someone whose body and limbs are not in proportion, that would be considered a mum. And the Gemara asked the kasha, Rav Shimi Bar Chiya asked Rav, if that's the case, I have a problem. Because I have a raya that Moshe Rabbeinu's body and his arms were not in proportion. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas tall. And Rav Shimi thought that he had a makar that Moshe Rabbeinu's amma, his arm, was that of the typical person's arm. And if he's 10 amas tall, he's 20 feet tall, and he has a regular arm, so obviously his body is much bigger than this Aver in proportion. Says Kasha was, if that's the case, he made Moshe Rabbeinu Balmum, and it can't be. So Rav said, no, I hear you're right. I don't think we made Moshe Rabbeinu Balmum, because who said that Moshe Rabbeinu's arm was in proportion? I, Rav Shimi's Cheshman. So Rav explained to Rav Shimi why he didn't think that his Cheshman was a Cheshman. But apparently the Gemara had an issue with Moshe Rabbeinu being a Balmum. Right? That was Rav Shimi's Kasha. Im kena siso Moshe Rabbeinu Balmum. The truth is that there's a better known Gemara where the Gemara makes the same exact argument, and that's a Gemara in the Sechtes Soita Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis. The Pasuk says that Basya, Bas Paroi, goes Lirchoitz ala Yor. Vatera Bas Paroi Lirchoitz ala Yor. Venarisel Hochoitz ala Yad Yor. Vatera Sateva. She sees this box. Betoy Chasof. Vatishlach es amasa, she stretches out her arm, which was larger in proportion to her body. Vatikochel, and she took out Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the pasuk says, Vatiftach, she opens up the teva. Vatireyo es hayelet, she saw the yelet. Vihine nar boicha, vatachmil olav, vatoymer miyaldei ha'ivrim hazeh. The Gemara asks Akasha that the pasuk says that when Basya saw Moshe, Vatireyo es hayelet. And then it says, "V'hine nar boicha." Frate the Gemara, Akasha, kari le yeled, v'kari le nar. Which one was it? Yeled suggests a much, much younger. Yeled's an infant. A nar is someone that's young, but maybe even a child, but not an infant. Frate the Gemara, which one was Moshe? Was Moshe a yeled or was Moshe a nar? Tana, we learned in a brayse. Who yeled? He was a yeled, of course. But v'kari le kenar, his voice was like that of a nar. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rabbi Nechemya. So Rabbi Nechemya told Rabbi Yehuda, "Im kein, if that's the case, asisoi v'moshe Rabbeinu balmum. You made Moshe Rabbeinu balmum, and it can't be that Moshe Rabbeinu was a balmum. Elo. So you have to say, "Malamed she'osa soloi imay chupas na'urim b'teva, v'amra Hashem aloi eska l'chupas." So Rabbi Nechemya said a different shot. But this kasha, the Rav Shimi Bar Chiya asked Rav, and Masechtas Becheres Daf Mem Dalad Man Aleph, from Nechemya asked Rav Yehuda. This was an exchange that happened on the Tanoim level. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya and Rav are Amayurahim. Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemya are Tanoim, Talmidim of Rav Yakiva. So this happened already on the Tanoim level, albeit in a different context. Our Gemara is discussing Moshe Rabbeinu's arm relative to the size of his body, and if they're not in proportion, based on the Mishnah, and Masechtas Becheres Daf Mem Dalad Amud Aleph, Im Kein Asisa LeMoshe Rabbeinu Balmum, and the Gemara over here in Soita Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis is discussing it in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu's voice. That if Moshe Rabbeinu as a yelet sounded like a nar, that would mean Asisa LeMoshe Rabbeinu Balmum. And both Gemaras, Keish Echad Belev Echad, are arguing that it's not possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Balmum. The question is why? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu be a Balmum? So Rashi Masechtas Soita Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis says, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi. And being that he was a Levi, v'nifsal b'koil la'avodas Hashir. If Moshe Rabbeinu was a Balmum, then it would have disqualified him from being able to do the Avodah, from him being able to be a Levi. But the truth is, you could say even a more pashut pshat. We know Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi, but the truth is Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Kohen Gadol. For 7 days, as soon as the Mishkan was erected, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol during the Shivas Yimei Amaluah. So the Yom HaKamas HaMishkan was Vayiba Yom HaShmini, the 8th day of what? It was really the 8th day from when the Mishkan had been built. The first 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol. Vayiba Yom HaShmini, Moshe Rabbeinu took the torch and he passed it over to his older brother Aharon. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol forever. And the reason Moshe Rabbeinu was because of the fact that he was Shakal Vatari. He didn't want to do the shlichus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him to do when he appeared to him by the snap. But the point is that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen Gadol during the Shivas Yimei Amalum. Right, the Gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zarah tucked away in the sugyas of the Yud Ches Dvarim, where the Gemara says, but Meshi Mesh Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, during the 7 days that he was the Kohen Gadol, did he wear Big Day Zahav? Did he wear Big Day Lavan? But the point is that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. So to the extent that he was a Kohen Gadol, it's poshut why he couldn't have been a Balmum. Because had he been a Balmum, this is mamash the sugya we're learning now. He'd be possible for being a Kohen Hedid. He'd certainly be possible for being a Kohen Gadol. In fact, the Gemara says in Masechtas Zvachim, that Rav said that not only was Moshe Rabbeinu a Kohen Gadol during the Shivas Yemei HaMeluim, but Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol Hoya v'chilek b'kotche shamayim Hoya. Moshe Rabbeinu remained a Kohen Gadol for the rest of his life. Moshe Rabbeinu never lost that madrega of being a Kohen Gadol. And if he wanted, he could have done the Avodah. And if he wanted, he could have eaten kotche. The obvious question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol and he could have done the Avodah, how come he never did the Avodah? How come you don't find anywhere that Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah? During the Shivas, he did the Avodah. But how come he never did the Avodah beyond that? So when we learn Masechta Zvachim, Daf Kufal, if that's what the sugya is, a festive sugya, not everybody agrees, Le Meketanoi, it's a whole sugya. If Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol after the Shivas Yemei HaMeluim, or he wasn't. Rav says that he was a Kohen Gadol. But either way, the Gemara says, I mean, so we spoke at the time, a Keren Oira. The Keren Oira says that really, if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do the Avodah, he could have done the Avodah. Ella, Mishum de Torud b'Shechina. The reason he didn't do it is because he was Torud. He was very busy with the Shechina. He niach la Haran hakuna gedayla. So therefore, he allowed a Haran to be the Kohen Gadol. Says the Keren Oira. Ki mailas Moshe hoya yoise gedayla. The maila Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than the maila of a Haran. Ki mevur b'divrei hazoyer hakadosh. Moshe shushbina de malka. And it's for that reason, Moshe Rabbeinu, despite the fact that he was also a Kohen Gadol, and if he wanted, he could have certainly done the Avoida, he chose not to do the Avoida. Because he felt that the maila of what he was doing, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, communicating with HaKadosh Baruch, like, come Navi Yisrael, come Moshe, it was on a higher madriga than that of Aharon HaKohen. So even though he was Kohen Gadol, he chose not to. But the bottom line is, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. You know who said it? Rav said it in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Who did Rav Shimi Bar Chiya make this argument to? Amalei Rav Shimi Bar Chiya l'Rav. He told Rav, "Imkena asisel Moshe Rabbeinu b'amum," because Rav l'shitasa he holds that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. If he was a Kohen Gadol, he wouldn't be able to be a b'amum. But either way, Pasha, you can learn that Moshe Rabbeinu could not have been a b'amum. Why not? Either he couldn't be a b'amum, like Rashi says in Masechta Soita, Daf Yud Beis, because he was a Levi. Although Rashi there seems to be emphasizing the psul in the koil of Moshe, because that's what the Levim did. Levim b'shira muvazimra, and it sounds like it's more of a pshat in that Gemara. Soita Daf Yud Beis on the Beis, where you could say more pasha. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol for sure for 7 days during the Shivas Yemei HaMeluim, and according to Rav, some shitas in the sugya, in the festive sugya, was vachem Daf Kuf Aleph Daf Kuf Beis, he was a Kohen Gadol really for the rest of his life. But you can't learn this Gemara without mentioning the famous Drashas HaRav. So the Yidua that the Ran in his Drus HaChamishi asks Akasha. He says, I have two Gemaras in Shas. I have a Gemara Masechta Soita Daf Yud Beis, and everybody knows. Where the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Yelid, he was a Nar. What was the Pshat? Rav Yehuda said that he was physically a Yelid, but he sounded like a Nar. Rav Nechemi said it can't be. And Kena Sisal Moshe Rabbeinu Mamu. And then there's another Gemara, Becharis Daf Mem Dalad Amanalf, that not everybody knows, where the Gemara says the same thing with regards to the arm of Moshe Rabbeinu, with regards to a Mum that's discussed in a mission over there in that sugya. But Shneem ki ish echad b'lev echad make the same argument. It was Rav Nechemya's Taina, and it was Rav Shimon Bar Chiya's Taina, which is that imkeno sisal Moshe Rabbeinu b'amum, that it's not possible Moshe Rabbeinu was b'amum, and whatever the pshat should be, but Moshe Rabbeinu could be a b'amum. Frank Duran, if that's the case, he doesn't understand. The pasuk says over and over and over again that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvad peh, that Moshe Rabbeinu was an aral svasayim. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvad peh, aral sounds like a mum. So l'chayra imkeno sisal Moshe Rabbeinu b'amum, it sounds like it's assuming a hanocha that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be perfection. It's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't perfect. Moshe Rabbeinu was a kfat pe. Moshe Rabbeinu was an aral svasayim. So everyone's heard this kasha, but it's worth hearing the kasha innovating, because this nuances and l'shoinoi hazov shel haran is pasha beautiful, even in the way he asks the kasha. V'hine tipoy b'kan she'elo v'hi. Eyois Moshe odoin kol anaviyim aral svasayim. He was an aral svasayim. So much so, at shehutzruch liyois aharin achav mitur gemonoi. V'ein lo hashiv. Don't say, meaning, maybe you'll say that it's true, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNaviim, had a mum. But maybe he was born that way, naturally. And with his Bechira, he vaxed to be Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem didn't want to intervene into Moshe Rabbeinu's Mitzias. So he left him a Baal Mum. Kiyodua, he says, ki kol inyan Moshe hoy l'mayla min ha-teva. Everything about Moshe Rabbeinu is l'mayla min ha-teva. These are the lashonis that I think are worth hearing. Ki min ha-nimna, it's impossible she'yala adam madrega she'ola huba al derech ha-minig ha-tevi. The Ran says, it's not possible for a person al pi derech ha-teva to reach the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. Uka amrei leikom navi oi b'Yisrael ke Moshe. Hoy diyonu, you know what the Torah was megalitos with that pasuk? She nevuas Moshe hoy l'mayla min ha-teva. The nevuas Moshe was l'mayla min ha-teva. V'she hishlima Hashem yizbar Yitbarach be'inyan nisi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this shleimus al derech hanes. Einenu efshari sheyasigenu ha'adam kefi ha'minigativi. She'im ha'yakein. Because if you're going to tell me it's possible for a person to reach Moshe Rabbeinu's level, al pi derech ha'teva, eich yoymer, v'loi kam navi yoy b'Yisrael k'moshe. How do you know? Mechateisi. V'Hashem yisparach lo yimon ha'toy mi'baylov. Hashem doesn't take away a person's bechiru, l'vil ti yasig ha'adam ha'mayla sh'iloy efsharis. How do you know that b'meshach the generations, there wouldn't be a yid who would overcome his yetzahara, he'd be such a tzaddik that he would become greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Mechateisi. How could the Torah say not that way? If Moshe Rabbeinu's mitzius is al pi derech hateva, mehechateisa, no one's ever going to be greater than Moshe. Maybe somebody will be. Aval inyan apasuk hu lo hidia. You know what the purpose of this pasuk is to teach us? Ki inyan Moshe hoya mikat hanisim v'naflois. That the inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the nisim v'naflois. V'yotza migeder ha'inyonim hativiyim. He has nothing to do with derech hateva. Ki im hayoy shecho ruach ha'nevuah lo'odom u'inyan efshorik v'yaminig hativi. That's true that nevuah itself is something that could happen up in derech hateva, but the level of Moshe Rabbeinu not. You hear this lashon? Ki inyan Moshe hu mikat ha'nisim v'naflois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes nisim v'naflois. Lo yisru v'naflois g'doy lo yislevad ki li'oy lam chazda. And befrau, when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, like the Ramban says in the end of Parashas Bo, there were a lot of miracles. There were 10 Makkas, there was Kriyas Yamsuf, there was Maimed Har Sinai, there was Mon, there was a Be'er, Anani HaKovid. There was miracle after miracle after miracle. One of the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed in the Midbar was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's whole Metzias was a miracle. Ki inyan Moshe hoya mikat ha'nisim v'naflois. L'shoyne Azov Shal Aran. Moshe's whole Metzias was a miracle. Everything was al-pi derech hanes. If that's the case, Rik Duran. So why was Moshe Rabbeinu a kfat pen or al sfasayim? Number one, the Gemara says, im kein osisa l'Moshe Rabbeinu mamum. This is what he fears always afterwards. We're not going to see that part inside. And befrad, you're going to tell me Hashem didn't want to intervene b'derech nes into Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not true. You see clearly that the whole Metzias of Moshe Rabbeinu was al-pi derech hanes. So again, why would Moshe Rabbeinu be a kfat pen? Says Duran, the reason is because we know that Nevuas Moshe is really what our entire religion hinges upon. And says Duran, it was very important that Moshe Rabbeinu not be a good speaker. Because had Moshe Rabbeinu had a good Kayach HaDibur, had he been a very dynamic, charismatic speaker, people could have thought that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu's message wasn't such a real message. But with his Kayach HaDibur, he was able to convince and persuade this group of people something that really wasn't true. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu bedafke made that he should be a kfat peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bedafke made that he should be an aral sfasayim. And because of the fact that he didn't have a Kayach HaDibur, says the Ram, we know that usually it's an impediment. He says people that have a good Kayach HaDibur can make anybody believe anything. And people that don't have a good Kayach HaDibur, they could try to explain the most basic thing and it's going to turn people off. So the truth is, says the Ram, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the antithesis of a good Kayach HaDibur. Something that al-piderech ha-teva Moshe Rabbeinu should not have had any chance in being able to mashpia anything upon the people that he was talking to. Simply because he had this mum, he had this issue, this blemish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it bedafka because he felt that this is something that he wanted to have. You know, they say that Reb Meir Shapiro of Daf Yomi fame was a very, very dynamic public speaker. And say the first time the Reb Meir heard Reb Meir Shapiro speak, he said now he has a better appreciation for this Ran. He said Reb Meir Shapiro would be able to convince anybody to do anything. Anecdotally, they say by the first Knesiyah HaGedoylo, so the Yidden got together to deal with a lot of the issues that the Jews were dealing with at the time in Europe. So Reb Chaim Oizer was the Skan HaRosh Yeshiva at the time. He was very, very old. And he got up and he gave Divrei Psicha, Divrei Bracha to the event. But because he was so old, he spoke very low. It was very hard for the Olam to hear him speak. So Reb Chaim Oizer got up, he said Divrei Bracha for a few minutes. And after Reb Meir Shapiro, who was the master of ceremonies of the event, he went and he repeated what Reb Chaim Oizer said. And he got up and he bellowed it out with his tremendous Kayach HaDibur. When he sat down, Reb Chaim Oizer went over to Reb Meir Shapiro and he told him, Chav Kemal Nishkevist, Azachab Azagit the Kayach HaDibur. He said, I never knew I was such a good speaker. He said, I said that? But either way, that was Reb Meir Shapiro. He had a tremendous Kayach HaDibur. But I'll tell you something very, very interesting. On this run, everybody knows this run, but just a few Hisafas on this run. And that is the Oinig Yontif. The Oinig Yontif in a drasha says a Dover Nifla. He says that if you go through the Pesukim in the end of the Zayis HaBrach, these are literally the last Pesukim in the Torah. The Pasuk says, Leikom Navi Oid B'Yisrael K'moshe, Ashi Yedoya Hashem Ponim Al Ponim, L'chala Oisois V'Hamoisim, Ashi Sholche Hashem, L'Asois Be'eretz Mitzrayim, L'Faroi, V'chala Vodov, U'l'chala Aretzoi, U'l'chala Yodach, Hazor L'Moyer, Moyer, Ashi Asa Moshe, Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Those are the last Pesukim in the Torah. So Leikom Navi Oid B'Yisrael K'moshe, it was never a Navi like Moshe. Never was, never will be. Ashi Yedoya Hashem Ponim Al Ponim, L'chala Oisois V'Hamoisim, Asher Sholchoi Hashem, Lasleis Be'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Inigyantif, it's a beautiful drasha. It comes to answer Akasha. But the punchline, he says, why did Torah have to emphasize that these miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu performed, he was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What felt those words? So he says, because even though we find that Nevi'im were able to perform miracles whenever they wanted. I do a Nevi'im, just go through, say, from Shmuel and Malachim and Shoif. The Nevi'im were able to do whatever they wanted to do. Not Moshe Rabbeinu. Avo b'Moshe, lo imatzinu sh'asa shum nes, ki im al pi adibur. You never find that Moshe Rabbeinu performed the miracle unless it was al pi adibur. Doik b'chol chum shei toira v'timatzei kei. He says, don't take my word for it. Look it up. You'll see. There isn't one miracle that Moshe Rabbeinu performed on his own. V'hu ha'inyan. You know what the reason is? Machmash ha'toira nit na'yad. Because the Torah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yirotza l'asvi shum davar milibay. He didn't want to do one thing on his own. And he says in parentheses, "Uke Moshe kosav aranzel b'mashal yekvadpe." So this is in parentheses. Good marmak. In Oinig Yontif, in his drushes, l'seyuma dechamishe chom shei Torah. If you have the Oinig Yontif, it's page kuf chof gimel in the Evan Ezer volume, Evan Ezer drushim. But the bottom line is, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu, because of the importance of his mission, of his shlichus, it was mitoich gadlusoi. It was because of this chumrah, she'echmarta olav, he kalt olav. It's because of that we had no choice but to say that Moshe, you can't do one miracle on your own. So Eliyahu Navi, yeah, Elisha, yeah, this Navi, that Navi, they were able to do whatever they wanted to do. But not Moshe Rabbeinu, because the moment Moshe Rabbeinu does something, shaloi al pi tzivoy Hashem, it opens a slippery slope. And that's not something that we wanted. So says the that's the emphasis. For like, come Navi, I be Yisrael ke Moshe. We're talking about Nevuas Moshe. This is the greatness of Moshe. These are eight psukim, the end of the Torah. Vayomas Moshe ver Hashem, and that's going to talk about. This is a eulogy on Moshe Rabbeinu. Divrei Hespid on Moshe Rabbeinu. Zokto Pasik, there was no Navi ever as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Asher Yodei Hashem ponam aponim. And where do you see his greatness? Chola Oysois va'am Moshe, Asher Sholchei Hashem, Lassus Meretz Yisrael. He needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mitzavim before he was. That's the greatness of Moshe? Just the opposite. You would say a great Navi is someone that's able to do whatever he wants. That's just the opposite. It's because his shlichus is so important. And because everything hinges on Nevuas Moshe, that's why he was Chol Oisus Van Moisim Asher Sholchei Hashem Lasis Beret Mitzrayim. Just one more Marumakim on this note. And that is, so we mentioned a moment ago, Soita Daf Yudbeis Amadeis. There's another Gemara, Masechta Soita. And this one's on Daf Yud Gimel Amad Aleph. We know that the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanu, all the Yidden, they were taking the Bizas Mitzrayim. What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing? He was doing a mitzvah. Which mitzvah was he doing? He took the Atzmas Yosef, right? Yosef HaTzadik had been mashbiyah that the Yidden should take the Atzmas Yosef with them when they go up to Eretz Yisrael, and everybody was busy taking money, Bizas Mitzrayim. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He's Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Minayin Hoyedeh Moshe Rabbeinu Heichon Yosef Kol. How do you know where Yosef HaTzadik was buried? Amru Serach Bas Asher Nishtayim Yosef Dor. Serach Bas Asher, she was still alive from the previous Dor. Halach Moshe Etzla. He went, Moshe goes to Serach Bas Asher, and he says, Klumat Yodat Heichon Yosef Kol. Do you know where Yosef's buried? Amru Loshe said, Arun Shal Matchas also one Mitzrayim. I know that the Mitzrayim made for him an Arun that's made of matchas, made of metal. Ukavu Benilo Sanar. And they put it into the Nilus. Kadesha is Baruch Meim. Polach Moshe, Amalas Vas Nilus. Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Nilus. Amalo Yosef, Yosef. Vigio Aish and Nishba Kodesh Baruch Shani Goy Leschem. Vigi Ashfush is Batas Yisrael. The time has come. We're leaving Mitzrayim. We have to go. We're packing our bags. The Oilum's leaving. And I know that you made us swear that we would take your Atzmes Yosef. He said, Matamara Atzmecha Mutav. If you show me where you are now, I'll take you. Im lav hare anu menuka mishvuascha. We tried our best, but I can't wait much longer. So either something has to happen, I need to find the Aron now. Miyad sof aroin shel Yosef. As he said that, Yosef HaTzadik's Aron drifts, it floats to the top of the Nilos. Says the Gemara, Va'al tetama, don't be wondered, heich barzol tzaf. How is it possible that metal floated? Says Sharik Sivas Alisha, because you find it by Alisha. But here, Echam Napala, Kurvas, Abazal, Novas, Amayim, there's a Makar to this that you find that this actually happened. I mean, the Gemara tells this fascinating story. How Moshe, all the Yidden are busy with business in Mitzrayim, but Moshe Rabbeinu's no. Moshe Rabbeinu's the Chacham Lev, Yikach Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, how do you find Aron Shel Yosef? It was on the bottom of the Nilos. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yosef, Yosef. And then the Atzmei Yosef rises to the top of the Nilos. Says the Gemara, it's a pella. How do you understand the story? What, a miracle? Says the Gemara, no, don't be so nispal. Heich barzol tzof. Because you find that metal sometimes can float to the top. Freit de Marsha, Gvald, what's going on over here? The Gemara has a problem. This is the only part of the narrative of Yetzias Mitzrayim that the Gemara doesn't understand. It's Nes after Nes, miracle. Everything happened on Piderech HaNes. Right, the Gemara, V'alta, Tamehich Barzol Tzav. I mean, what's the Pella? Nisei Hashem Rabbim, Ubi Yichud Gabi Moshe, Shemefuri Shehoyu, says the Masha, you know what the Pshat is? It's true you find Nisim throughout Moshe Rabbeinu's life. But every single Nes that Moshe Rabbeinu did, he did Al Pi Tzivo Yashem. Doik V'ashkach, like Doik Yontif says. This is the only miracle you find associated with Moshe, where there was no Tzivo. Hashem didn't tell Moshe to do this. It was Chacham Levikach Mitzvahs. It sounds like he did this on his own. And you never find anywhere that Moshe Rabbeinu did a miracle on his own. And that was the Chiddush over here. V'al t'tam mehich barz l'tzav. So it's an unbelievable thing. Every Navi was able to perform miracles. They could do what they want. But when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was different. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, because of the sensitivity of his shlichus, because like come Navi B'Yisrael come Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem panim upon him, because of everything that came about through Nevuas Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the liberty to just walk around and perform miracles. Other Nevi'im, yeah. It's because their Nevuah wasn't as sensitive. The sensitivity of Nevuah's Moshe is the reason that even though Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be a Bamum, still he was a Kfad Peh, still he was an Aral Svasayan, and it's for that reason Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't perform his own miracles, the way the Enig Yontif touches it up in the Hesped of Moshe. That's the whole point, Asher Sholchai Hashem B'Mitzrayim. That's part of the Hesped. Just like Kam Navi B'Yisrael, Kam Moshe is part of the Hesped, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's miracles were done, Asher Sholchai Hashem Lasis Beres Mitzrayim Lefarei, that's also part of the Hesped. It's because of the importance and the sensitivity of shlichos, and that's the beer in the Gemara, like the Marsha says, and the Sachta Soita Daf Yud Gimel, Ba'al Tetama Heich Barzol Tzaf. On that note, let's finish the daf. Zok the Mishnah, Dad of Sheichtin Kishalisha, if a man has dadin like a woman, Kreisai Tzava, or his stomach is very large, Tibura Yoitze, his belly button protrudes, Nichbe, if he has epileptic seizures, afilu achas liyamim, even only once in a while, ruach kitzara ba'alaf, if he is overtaken occasionally by the shade, Rashi says, the demon called kitzara, hamu'ushban, the Gemara is going to say that's someone whose baits and his testicles are very large, ubalgever, that's someone whose aver is very large. Amar Rab Abba Breid Rab Chiba Rabba, mashtid amayim b'fnei Rabba, you're allowed to drink water in, I'm sorry, you're allowed to urinate, very different, in front of people, but you're not allowed to drink water in front of a rabbi. Right? You think it's just the opposite. Is it okay to drink in front of a rabbi? Okay, no. To urinate? You think for sure not. That's the chiddush, right? So Rab Abba, Berei de Rab Chiya bar Abba, said it's just the opposite. Mashtin in mayim, that you could urinate in front of a rabbi, but you're not allowed to drink water b'fnei rabbi. Tanya nami hachi, mashtin in mayim b'fnei rabbi, ve'enchoy samayim b'fnei rabbi. Ma'isav echosh b'kish lashon mayim. There was a person who wanted to, needed to urinate, and he didn't because he was in front of a rabbi. V'loy hishtim, v'nimtza kreisa tzava, and his stomach somehow he ended up with some gastro-related issue, and it's from there that chachamim realize that it's dangerous for a person to hold back from urinating if he has to. Thus, the halacha is, if someone needs to go to the bathroom, he should do it, and even b'fnei rabbim. So that's the Gemara. Shmuel itzrich le'bishavta derigla. Shmuel was once darshan. Rashi says it was shloshim yom kodem achag, and it's Shabbos, and Shmuel's giving a big drasha, and he had to go to the bathroom. Nogdu le'glima. So what they did was, the Talmidim came, they took a curtain, they hung it up, they held it, so Shmuel should be able to go to the bathroom. People won't see what he's doing. Also, the Kamidavua, he came and he told his father, Amales, his father told him, Etin lecha arba mea zuzi. How many? He said, I'll give you 400 zuzim. Vizila hadru, if you'd be able to undo what you just did. Meaning, what you did was terrible. What do you mean? What was I supposed to do? Shmuel said. He said, at the efshaloch, but lo yafshach lesson. You know what it looks like? It looks like you're not supposed to be mashtim. You shouldn't urinate in front of people. It certainly seems that way. Nervous, you didn't do it in front of people. You held up a curtain. But you have gaboyim, talmidim, you're Shmuel. What about someone, a regular person, who doesn't have gaboyim? His father told him. And he has to urinate. He's going to think, based on what you did, that it's not okay to urinate in front of people. Because at the very least, you need this level of tznius. So you're actually teaching people that it's okay to hold in when you need to go to the bathroom, and that's terrible. He said, I'd give you 400 zuzin. That's a lot of money, right? He said, I'd give you a tremendous amount of money if you could undo what you did, because I think you taught the oilam a terrible lesson. Mar Baravashi, it's chagudigam. Mar Baravashi was once walking on a bridge, and he also had to go to the bathroom. Ashton, so he began to urinate. Amalei, they told him, Chamasach Kasya. They told him, your mother-in-law, your shviga is coming. So meaning they meant to tell him, you should be more betznius. Amalei, so he told him, Ba'udna. He said, if I had to urinate in her ear, I would do that too. Meaning, that's not going to stop me. But typically, fake the Gemara Mishum Alka. So the Gemara goes back to the original Braisa. The Braisa said that it's not okay to hold yourself back if you have to earn it. Thus, mashtinim mayim b'fnei rabim. And it was a story with someone who needed to go to the bathroom. He didn't. The nimsa kreisay tzavah. How do you know that that person got his kreisay tzavah because he held himself back from going to the bathroom? Maybe it came from something else. Maybe he ate alka. That's something not good. So the Gemara says, B'shoi says. No, he knew that. There was a simen. Because what happened was after he went to the bathroom then, so the meraglayim started dribbling out, and that was a sign that his issue was related to urination. Tanu Rabbanan, Shnei Nekavim Yishabal, a person has two holes in his Efer. Echad Moitzi Shesen, one is from where he goes to the bathroom. Echad Moitzi Shechvazera. The Im Bein Zel is the Elo Klippas Hashom. The membrane in between those two tipin is so thin, it's like a Klippas Hashom. B'shosha Adam Nitzrach, if a person has to go to the bathroom, Im Nikvay Zelo Teichzeh, if somehow that little membrane would rupture, nimtza akar, it would cause him to become sterile. Amar Ish Lakish. Ma'idich Sivla Yibacha Akar V'akar V'amtecha. Pasha, what the Pasuk is saying is, it's a bracha, it's avtacha, it's in the beginning of Parshas Ekev. It's a lot of brachas in the beginning of Parshas Ekev. And one of the brachas that the Torah says is that a person, if he, V'oye Ekev Asher Tishmon, Lo Yibacha Akar V'akara U'V'amtecha. Says the Gemara, when are you not going to be an akar? When will you not become sterile, infertile? It's bizman shevevemtech. When you act like a behemoth. What does it mean you act like a behemoth? Doesn't mean fitzich via behemoth. But it means just like a behemoth, if it has to urinate, it's going to urinate. So too, if you need to go to the bathroom, it's something you should do. Even bifnei rabim, mashtinim mayim bifnei rabim. Because otherwise, like in that story, it can lead to a person becoming an akar. I remember Shulman Levi, a similar drasha. Lo yibacha akar, what does that mean? Minat hamidim. It said, you're going to have talmidim. Your tefillahs won't be akura. But emesai, when? So Tosfos says, this kebehema doesn't mean what the behema meant earlier. It means if a person's like a behema, he's be'anava, he fears with midas toivis, the hagunois, then it'll be zoichel. Have talmidim, his tefillahs will be answered. But Rashi seems to learn that the hemtecha in the previous gemara. Then it means if a person wants to have good children and he wants his tefillahs to be answered, he has to make his shtadlus also. And he can daven and everything else, but at the same time, if he's going to do something to physically harm himself, that will maybe cause him not to be able to have children, or the way others explain it, that if the children are going to be raised in an environment where if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to hold yourself in, and it's not okay, there's going to be that type of ruach, that's going to have a negative impact on the children. Either way, I am a mafarsh from the way they explain Rashi's pshat. Interesting. Amar Papa, lo yashem adam mayim lo yagabichar. A person should not urinate on top of an earthenware keile. V'lei al makom kasher, or in any area that's hard. Why? Amar Rav. Rav said, Hani maduri the bavel, the slopes in bavel, mahadri mayle in etam. The water flows from there all the way into in etam, which was a ayin in Yerushalayim. The point is that don't be mashed in mayim in these areas because someone in Yerushalayim is going to end up drinking this water. Amar Abaya, ha itza, like take him lehedi bampi yanuka. If a woman has to go to the bathroom, so she should not urinate directly in front of a child. Agis lesma, if it's a little bit on the side, it's okay. Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Leiman. Amuda chayzer, if someone needs to go to the bathroom, gedoylin, and he holds it back, maybe adam ladei hadroikon. Siloin hachayzer, if somebody needs to urinate and he holds it back, maybe adam ladei yirokin. Amar Abba Barafuna, Amar Rav Kikin, Amar Ishlokish. Dam Rava, if someone has a lot of blood that's building up in his body, shchin rava, it can lead to shchin. We spoke about that in the beginning of the week. Shichva zera rava, if he has a buildup of shichva zera, tzaras rava, it can lead to tzaras. Tzoyer rava, a buildup of tzava, hadroikin rava, it can bring the hadroikin. Meiraglayim ravin, yeirokin ravin. Ruach katsris ball. The Mishnah mentioned this. One of the women, if someone has this ruach katsris, my is this, my niyotana, ruach benefalim ba'olav. It means the ruach that's called benefalim comes upon him. Hamu'ushban ubal gever. Tana, what does mu'ushban mean? Meshubim ba'beitzim. It means that his beitzim are unusually large. Ubal gever, what does that mean? Ba'gid, it means his gid is unusually large. Tana, meshubin ze hakayon. Meshubin is a kayon. Hagrafton ze balkik. Kayon, what is a kayon? Ze ba'beitzim. Someone whose beitzim are large. Grafta is by gid. It means his gid is very large. Vadkama, how large does a gid have to be in order for it to be considered? Well, Machri Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda showed adrechuva. It means up until his knee. If it's up until his knee, Tanya, Lesman, Yaakov, adrechuva, possible. Up until his knee is going to be possible. Lamailan and rechuva, if it's a little bit above his knee, it's going to be kosher. Ikadami, some say adrechuva, up until his knee, kosher, it's going to be kosher. Lamailan and rechuva, but if it's going to be lamatim and rechuva, in that case, it's going to be puzzle. Incidentally, just to end the daf on a light note, and that is earlier in the week we spoke about the pasuk that talks about im shamaya tishma lekol hashem lekecha vazanta lemitzvoisa v'shamarta kol chukov kol amachla shesamti b'mitzrayim layosam olecha ki ani hashem roifecha. And we just spoke at a oimik in the kavanas pasuk that even though in parshas kisava in the toichecha of Parshas Kisavai, this week's also the Teichecha, but the Teichecha of Parshas Kisavai, the one that's in Mishnah Torah, that's a lot longer. And in that Teichecha, the Pasuk refers to the Shechin Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yiraf. The Gemara said, you see from there, that it was a Mum Kavua. Even though the Manvei Mitzrayim, some of which were things that were not Shaykh to Refuah, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Hashem Reifechad is going to be a Refuah. And we related it to Chaydashir is Oisius, Ani Hashem Reifechad, Kimavur Besfar Maktoishim, but really it's Merum is in the Chassam Sofer, and Mesach Shabbos, Kuf Mem Zayin Mabez, and in the Marshon is Chedushi Agadis. Also, it doesn't say those words, Ani Hashem Reifecha, but the Marshon is Chedushi Agadis, Mesach Tes Yevamis, Daf Samach Bez Amabez. So just to end the week's Daf, Me Inyan Le Inyan, and that is, we just mentioned the Pasuk, Baruch Tia Mikol Amim, Lo Yeh Vecha Akar, Va'akara uvevhem techa. If you take a look in the Balaturim says, Lo Yeh Vecha Akar Va'akara is Begematria Bedivrei HaTorah. So lo yeh v'cha akar v'akara is begematria b'divrei haTorah. Now, if you look in the newer Mikrois Gedolos Chumashim, it says al pi b'chayris daf mem dalad amid beis. Mid al pi ar gemara. Because in our gemara we saw Rabbi Shulman Levi said, what does it mean lo yeh v'cha akar min atalmidim? And what does it mean akara? Your tefillah is not going to be akura. So it's based on that. That you see, there's a connection between this pasuk of lo yeh v'cha akar v'akara uvevhem techa. That somehow it's related to Torah. Either way, says the Balaturim, lo yeh v'cha Akar ve'akara is begematria divrei haTorah. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim for Rabbi David Yoel Weiss, he brings from the Sefer Imrei Noyam, Api Svarim HaKadoshim, he says a davar nifla. This pasuk, lo baruch tia mikolo amim, lo yeh v'cha akar ve'akara v'emtecha. So it's right in the beginning of Parshas Ekev. So he said, Parshas Ekev starts a little bit like this week's Parsha, a little like Parshas B'chukoysa. This week is B'chukoysa Teilechu, and all the gevaldige brachas. Here he says, v'hoi Ekev tishmona seisham ha'shpatam ha'edwash ma'atam ha'sisam ha'isam, v'shama ha'sham l'cho ha'sa bris v'sa chesed. And then it says, v'ahevcho v'irachecho v'hirbecho v'erch b'ibitnecho v'riyad mosecho. And then it says, baruch tia mikol amim, lo yeh v'cha akar v'akara v'emtecha. That's our pasuk. Next pasuk, v'hi Yisra Hashem imcha kol choyvi. V'chol madvei mitzrayim haroim asher yodato lo yisimam bach unesonam b'chol soynecha. Said the Imrei Noya. Smichas ha-psukim. Lo yeh v'cha akar v'akaru v'emtecha. And then right afterwards, it's v'heisir Hashem imcha kol choyvi v'chol madvei mitzrayim. Says, and I quote, b'balaturim kosav lo yeh v'cha akar v'akaru. Quoting from the Imrei Noya, Begematria B'divrei HaTorah, V'nira, Ki Yadu Ma Sh'Amru B'Sfarim HaKdoshim, the Pri Eitz Chaim, this is from the Arizal. The Pasuk says, Orok Ato Mikol HaBehemo, Ki Yesh Choyloim, Ki Minyan Toitzois. Who is Orok Ato Mikol HaBehemo? That's the Nachash. There's Machlois Loyalenu, Begematria Toitzois. Toitzois, the word Toitzois, Begematria 903. And the Arizal said, there are 903 Machlois, which is the same as the Gematria of Orr Atom Mikol. So Orr Atom Mikol is Begematria 903, which is the equivalent of the Gematria of the word Toitzois, which is also 903. What's the Makar to this? Incidentally, it's a Gemara. It's a Bavli. Nigva. Brachas Tav Chesam and Aleph. The Gemara says, Teisha Meirs Ushloisha Mine Misois Nivru Ba'olam, Shenemar Lamovis Toitzois, Toitzois Begematria Hochi Havi. So sometimes the Gemara mentions Gematrias, this is one of them. Brachas Tav Chesam and Aleph, soon. But either way, so you have 903 Misois, that Rizal said, that means that there's 903 Machlois, which is the same as the Gematria of Orr Ato Mikol. Said that Rizal, that's Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, in Parshas Nitzavim, lo over chaber vris Hashem aloikecha uba losoi, asher Hashem aloikecha koreis imcha ayoy. He said the words asher Hashem aloikecha koreis imcha ayoy is also oil begematria teitzois. It's also 903. And the hemshach pasuk is that lo over chaber vris Hashem aloikecha uba losoi. That if a person is koreis bris, which bris? The bris that Parshas Nitzavim is talking about. The bris of Torah. Somebody takes upon himself the bris of Torah. That's going to work to get a person to the point of, quote, Hashem Elokecha Koreis Imcha Ayoyim, which is the Gematria Toitzois, which is the Gematria of Orato Mikoil, which is the Gematria of 903, which is the amount of Machlois. So said that Rizal, Hashem Elokecha Koreis Imcha Ayoyim is the haftocha keneged that is what over chaber bis Hashem alekachu balasim. When a person takes upon himself divrei Torah, a person takes upon himself to learn Torah. Learning Torah is a skula keneged machlois. Kumayshar amaznu asher Torah im refuah ilatayzais. The word Torah with the word refuah said darizal together comes out to 903, which is also the gematria of tayzais. Either way, it says demrei noyam bis el shama. This is the pasuk. Baruch tia mikol ha'amim is big gematria tayzais lahafeicha. In other words, the pasuk says over here in Parashas Ekev, Baruch Tia Mikol Amim, Lo Yevecha Akar Va'Akara Uvehem Techa. Lo Yevecha Akar Va'Akara Uvehem Techa says the Baal HaTurim is Divrei Torah. Meaning, if you're not going to be Akav Akar Vantecha, you're going to learn Torah. It's going to be La'avr Chaber Vis Hashem like Echu V'Alasai. You know what the next pasuk says? V'Heiser Hashem Imcha Kol Chayli V'Chol Madvei Mitzrayim Harah Masha Yodat Lo Yisim Abachu Nesana B'Chol Seinecha. And again, the Madvei Mitzrayim. Emphasis on Madvei Mitzrayim. Like the pasuk says in the Toichecha, Asher Lo Yirafe, which we learned in the Sugis this week. These are Mumim Kavuim. So we're learning Sugis about Mumim and Mumim Kavuim. So Iyar Zani Hashem Refecha, which incidentally, it's not just Iyar, right? Iyar is Chodesh Iyar. It's not going to be Chodesh Iyar very shortly. But the truth is, the Makar is the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin Amadeus, and that Gemara doesn't say Iyar. That Gemara says Midivcha Ve'Adatzartus. It's up until Shavuos. So there's a skula of the Zman of Iyar, of Ani Hashem Reifach, but there's another skula. And this skula transcends Zman. This is a skula that's true all the time. This is the skula of B'divrei Torah. Incidentally, I'll just tell you something interesting. So he has a whole arichas here, the Megadim Chadashim, on the Heisra Hashem Imcha Kol Chayli. So he says in one piece, Amarti Lishran Kan skula lerefuas chayla hamuva bekam esvarim ve'in advarim yudun l'rabim. It's a skula for refuah that people don't know about. He said he's found it in many svarim. And that is that if a person's a chayla, he said there's a skula for him to move his bed to a different area, either in the same room or maybe even preferably, he says, in a different room. But he brings it from the Trumas HaDeshen. One of his Talmidim said this over, B'Shem the Trumas HaDeshen. And then he brings it from the Balatanya and from different Sadiqim, the Maria Sads. It seems like it spans different generations of Tkufas. So he says it's a tremendous skula that nobody knows about, so he wants to mention it. But regardless, that's this idea of La Yibcha Akiva Korav Emtecha is Begamachi B'Divrei Torah. That's a skula to the Heiser Hashem Imcha Kol Chayli V'Chol Madvei Mitzrayim.